I want to kind of put the capper on my sharing with you from God's Word in the year of giving today. And I want to share with you a passage and talk about something that God wants you to know, something that God wants you to experience that will help you to know that when you give, just as you did a few moments ago, that things are already taking place. It's kind of like the dessert. You know, when you think about after a great meal, you want to sit back and enjoy. This is one of those messages I think you're just going to really enjoy. Because it's designed to not only encourage you in what just happened, but to encourage you for the future. Remember what I said last week? It's not what do I want to give, it's what does God want to give through me. That changes me. I have never stretched as far when I'm thinking about what I want to give as when I think and pray about what God wants to give through me. Now that is where you start to walk on faith. Not just walk by faith, walk on faith. You know the difference, right? That's when you're stepping out there and you don't really see it. And God wants us to enjoy that because it's part of the way we're participating in His kingdom life. You see, this series, honestly, is not so much, I said this a few weeks ago, it's not so much about giving. It's about faith. It's about a lifestyle of generosity. When I learn how to give my money, there's a lot of other things that start to get given just as easily. I start to give my time. I start to give my energy. I start to give to my family my love. I start to pay attention to those areas and issues in my life that I get pulled and tangled into. And that's God's heart for us. See, God wants us to see giving as a wonderful joy, not as something that's a burden. Several years ago, I was reading a story from Paul Harvey, so you know it's true, right? Got to be true. You know, he told a story about a lady that called into the Butterball Turkey Company. And she called their customer service hotline, and she asked them, she said, I've got a turkey, and it's been in the freezer now for 21 years. And she said, I want to know, is the turkey safe to eat? And so the customer service guy had not had this question asked yet. He had to do a little checking, and he came back and says, well, ma'am, he said, yes, it is safe for you to eat so long as the turkey has always been below the freezing level the whole time in the freezer. If you know that it's never gotten above that level, then yeah, it's probably safe. But honestly, that long a time in the freezer, it's probably the meat's probably deteriorated, and it probably wouldn't taste very good. And the lady said, well, that's about what I thought. We'll just donate it to the church. Now, that's a lady that hadn't learned how to feel good about giving, wouldn't you say? We'll just donate to the church. You know, I feel for people like that because I think it means we've missed out on what God's heart for us. God really wants us to enjoy the experience of giving. That is God's heart for you. One of the reasons I know that is because it's His nature, but another one is because of what's here in Philippians chapter 4. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 4. I want to read a little section from Scripture at the close of this letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church at Philippi. And a lot of people think that this was kind of his sweetheart church. This was a church he felt really special about. This was a church that he really didn't criticize them. There's one little tiny sliver of criticism about a couple that couldn't get along. And, you know, Euodia and Syntyche. And he tells them, you need to get along. But other than that, the book of Philippians is just full of encouragement, full of blessing, full of joy. But the church at Philippi was one of the reasons why they were special to Paul is because they had seen the vision for his ministry. And they had invested in his ministry. And they had gotten to see things happen in the kingdom, the spread of the kingdom of God because of his ministry. And so at the end of this little letter that Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says some things that I think you and I can grab hold of and realize the same kind of stuff he was saying about them, God is really saying to us today when we participate in this wonderful grace of giving. Let's go ahead and start down around verse 15. Verse 15, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Well, let me tell you some things that are going on. This is kind of a neat passage for me also because a couple of years ago, I have a conference ministry that I lead. And one of the conferences we did, it was the final night of the conference. And our conferences were funded through a little bit through registration, but primarily through offerings. And we were about $5,000 short being able to just pay the expenses. And all week long, I was planning to do the offering on the last night. We took one up each night, but this was the last night's offering. And all week long, I had been asking the Lord, what do you want me to talk about to the people? Because typically in conferences, you have folks that are pretty mature in the Lord that come to those. And so it's not like they hadn't heard about giving before, okay? But all week long, the phrase that kept coming to me was the passage here at the end of chapter 4, verse 19, where God says through Paul, and my God will supply all your needs. And I kept feeling like I was supposed to go there, but I didn't have anything. And literally, in the praise and worship of the last night, before I'm going to get up and take the offering, in 5 minutes, the Lord showed me what I want to share with you today. Now, you're not going to get the five-minute version. But anyway, in 5 minutes, the Lord showed me what I want to share with you. And it has been an incredible encouragement to me. I've preached this, I guess, a couple of times other places, but I wanted to share it with you today because this really does help you see that stuff happens right now. In fact, it's happened because of the offering that you gave. And you know where it's taking place? Now, Pastor Teal talked about the ministries, and that's important. We're going to kind of allude to that in a second. But I want to tell you something. There are things that happen, at least four things I'll show you out of this passage that happened in the heavenlies just a few minutes ago when you gave. Now, that gets me excited. Do you realize that stuff happens in heaven when you and I give? I don't know that I thought that much about it. I knew a few verses, but when I started seeing what God was showing me in this, it really excited me. Let me tell you some things that are going on. First thing that happens in heaven when you and I give, go back to verse 15 and 16. The first thing that happens is, get this, a part of God's to-do list gets checked off. Now, think about it. What was Paul up to? He talked about the ministry they were involved in had to do with the spreading of the gospel. If Paul didn't receive the financial support, he couldn't live. He couldn't spread the gospel. Let's say if he had to work, like most of us do, work for a living, making tents or other things that he did, that meant there was less time for him to just invest in sharing the gospel with people. And so the first thing I know is going on right here is Paul is sharing the gospel. Now, do you not think that's part of God's to-do list? You know, I know what's going on in my office. I use Outlook, Microsoft Outlook, because it has a task list and calendar and all this jazz in it. Well, one of the things it has is a to-do list. And I don't want to tell you how long my to-do list is. And I wish somebody would check a few of mine off. But you know what happens is when we are involved in ministry, when we are doing the things of God, if it's stuff God wants done, imagine this. Just imagine God up in heaven with a to-do list. And you and I give, and he says, there's one. There's one, there's one, there's one. I mean, let's just ask a question. I know we have some missionaries here, and I've been a missionary in Ireland. And I love missions. I think that is so important. And when missionaries come and ask for support, you know, we make decisions. Are we supposed to give to support those people in that mission work? You know, and you pray about it. Let me ask you a question. If the Apostle Paul walked in today and asked his church to support him in missions, how many of us would say yes? Yeah, I mean, my hand would go up right away. I would want to support the Apostle Paul in missions, right? Wouldn't you? I'd want to do that. I'd know part of God's to-do list is getting done, right? Let me tell you something. These folks that are here and others that we pray for every day and every week and the things that we're involved in, let me tell you something, folks. It's exactly the same set of purposes. And whether it's the Apostle Paul coming in or anybody else, when their purposes are the purposes of God, it's the same thing. Now, if I would give to support Paul because I know that God's to-do list is getting done, I'm going to give to support anybody that wants to do God's will, wants to serve him in an effective manner, wants to make a difference to reach people and then to lead those people who've been reached into a deeper, more powerful service for God. Now, that's exciting. And God says, you betcha. Every time you and I give, God is clicking that off saying, there, they've done that, they've done that, they've done that, they've done that. They're my people. They're carrying out my work. And the reality is you and I need to remember something about money. It's not just true about giving. It's true about anything. Money has to be given or spent or turned loose of. Money has to be released for it to do any good. Right? You cannot even go up to Burger King and get a hamburger without turning loose of some cash. You can't go over to Circuit City and buy a VCR without turning loose of some cash. You can't sign up for school at Texas Tech without turning loose of some cash. Why? Yeah, I figured I'd get one of those. You know, one of the things we got to realize is money does zero amount of good until you let loose of it. Now, I haven't noticed this. Is there a Chick-fil-A in Lubbock? I'm sure there is, right? Yeah, there is. Yes. Now, you notice something about Chick-fil-A. Can you go get lunch there today? No. That is a commitment that their founder and president, Truett Cathy, has made. He says, I want to make Sunday the Lord's Day. And so he says, I want my people to get to celebrate this as the Lord's Day. So consequently, they don't open their stores on Sunday. I don't know how much money that costs that company, but I would imagine it costs them a lot more than we'd like to imagine. I don't think Cathy cares, though. You know why? Because Truett Cathy is a sold-out believer. Did you know he teaches Sunday school? Has for 40 years. Did you know that he helps support orphanages around the world? Helps kids go to college. Did you know that? And somebody says, well, you know, he's rich. He can afford it. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you an attitude that Truett Cathy has. Truett Cathy says, money is a great thing to have as long as you have it in your hand and not in your heart. See, we've got to realize that God has a to-do list that he checks off when we give. You know, I don't even think it has to actually have happened yet. But in God's mind, it's done. That's the first thing that goes on. Second thing that goes on, this one's kind of fun, verse 17. Second thing that goes on in the heavenlies is, get this, your heavenly IRA is updated. Did you see what he said in verse 17? He talks about this gift that they gave for Paul on behalf of Paul for the gospel. Paul says it has been credited to your account. Get that. God in heaven credits the money that we give to our account. Now here's another issue. Nobody can give for you. I can't even give for my son Kyle. Now granted, you've already heard my stories, right? He gets an allowance. But when I turn loose of that allowance, I've taught him what he's to do with it. He knows what God wants. He never fusses at me about when he's given his tithe, ever. Why? Because he knows God's keeping track of that stuff. Now, I can't give for you. You can't give for me. You can't give for your mate or vice versa, or for your kids or your friends. You can't give for anybody else, just like you can't be saved for anybody else. Just like you can't pray for anybody else. And you can pray for them intercessory, but you can't do their prayers. You know what I'm saying? Just like you can't love God for anybody else. It's the same principle. And so God tells me, God tells you, when I give, he is keeping track. Every single gift that you and I give is deposited in the bank of heaven and audited by the Almighty God. You know how I know that? Well, I know it from here, but I also know it from what Jesus said in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 4, Jesus talked about giving even in secret. See, I don't think we're supposed to be show off or haughty about this at all. He says, you even give in secret, and it says your Father who sees in secret will do what? Will reward you. God knows what's going on if nobody else does. God knows what's going on, and God's keeping track, and God's keeping score. Not in a legalistic sense, but we're, and then this is in verse 20, but we are storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. You know, I've wondered for years, what does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? Here's one of the verses that shows it. It's God keeping track. And it matters to the Lord. And we may not even see. In fact, I'll guess, this is not even a guess. I'm sure we will not see on this side of eternity all the benefits and all the results and all the ways God uses what you and I give. Not just of our money, but of our time and our love and our energy, our effort. We won't even know on this side. But it's taken care of. God's watching over it. You know, one of the things that blesses me is studying the lives of faithful people who have given sacrificially beyond, above and beyond, because it helps me to kind of gauge my own faith. One of these guys that really has blessed me is a fellow named George Mueller. George Mueller lived back in the 19th century. And one of the things, he was in London, one of the things that he did was he ran an orphanage for many, 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 many poor, poor, poor children there in London. Now, that's a good deed, right? That's a good work in and of itself. But guess what? More than that, George Mueller never, ever asked people for money to run that orphanage. He prayed it in. He prayed it in. When they had need for milk or for food or for firewood or stuff that just, you know, you and I would think of as the staples of life. He would get on his knees and he would pray, and then, I mean, miraculously, stuff would show up at their doorstep. In fact, it's been estimated by people who studied George Mueller's life that during the time in which he was living, which is almost 100, he was 93, I believe, when he died. But during the time when he was leading that ministry, that orphanage, an estimated $2 million was given by faith, by prayer, to his ministry. And that was 100 years ago, going on 200 years ago. Somebody one time, kind of a critic, a cynic, I guess I'd say, not a critic, but a cynic, was visiting George Mueller's orphanage and was looking over the operation. And he made this comment, you know, especially related to the idea that he just prayed in the funds. He made this comment. He said, "Well, it looks like a hand-to-mouth operation to me." You know what Mueller said to him? He said, "Well, maybe so, but it's God's hand in our mouths. God keeps track. He knows what's going on. Your heavenly IRA is safe. You don't lose any money when you give it. It's well cared for." Third thing that happens, and this is just the neatest part. Here's some real dessert kind of stuff. Verse 18. When he describes what God thinks of the gifts that we give, he says, "I've received full payment, even more. I'm amply supplied." Look at the last part of the verse. These gifts, and God, by the way, guys, this is for sure financial, okay? Sometimes people wonder, is the giving more generic, metaphorical? And listen, this is, I was going to say, you know, dollars and cents. This is drachma or whatever they used back then. I mean, this is cash. He says, about that gift, he says, "They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God." See, the third thing that happens in heaven is God just likes it. You know, God likes it when I give. He just likes it. He enjoys it. Look at the descriptions that Paul gives. He says, number one, it's a fragrant offering. You know, it's really interesting. Most of the times when this word is used, in fact, it could even be, I didn't double check my references, but my memory tells me that every time you see this phrase, fragrant offering, except here, every other time it refers to prayer. I think that's true. As I recall, that's true. And so what he is really doing, in a sense, he is equating what we do in giving. It has a similar kind of appeal to God as prayer. A fragrant offering. Second thing he calls it is an acceptable sacrifice. See, that tells me that I don't want to give to God out of my surplus. That tells me that I ought to stretch. That tells me God wants me to stretch. And when I struggle with a decision, I remember, how much does God want to give through me? Not how much does God want me to give. If I'm giving on the basis of how much I want to give, I can only give this amount. But if I give on the basis of what does God want to give through me, I mean, there is no limit. But it may require your and my willingness to sacrifice. Maybe you've heard the story 100 years ago about the little girl in the church that the missionary came to. He was actually part of spreading Sunday school throughout the American frontier. And he talked about what he wanted to do is to buy books and other resources for the children who were going to learn about Jesus on the American frontier. And this little girl was listening, and she didn't have any money, but her mom had passed away not long ago. And she had her mom's gold wedding band. It was her prized possession. And she heard that missionary talk about the children, and she thought of how that wedding band would be worth something that could be used to buy books for those kids. And she slipped that band off and dropped it in the offering plate when it went by. Her prized possession. Well, there was a fellow, a Christian, sitting next to her and saw what happened, knew what was going on. After the service, he went up to the missionary and he said, "I saw what that little girl did," and he said, "I want to get that ring back for her. I know how special it is." And so he gave the missionary a whole lot more than that ring would ever bring in the open market. And so the missionary, and he said, "But here's the stipulation. I want you to give it back to that little girl." So then the missionary went back to the little girl and tried to give her the ring, and she wouldn't take it. And she said, "No, I gave that for the children." The missionary said he pocketed the ring, and then he said after that, everywhere he went, he talked about that ring. And he shared the heart of that little girl. And he said, that little girl's ring led to a whole lot more funds being given for missions for those kids. It's a sacrifice. But, you know, when you think about a sacrifice, you sometimes think, I'm going to give it and I won't get anything back. But sacrifices, by their definition, lead to big results. Think about the sacrifices that were given for our nation to be free. Think about the sacrifices that fathers and mothers make so kids can go to college. Think about the sacrifices that some of you made during the Depression just to let your families live. But think most of all about the sacrifice Jesus made so we could be alive forever. So it's an acceptable sacrifice. And then the third thing, it just says pleasing to God. I get the image of God smiling when we give. I think that's God's heart. He wants us to know this is neat. That your gifts matter to God. That they do something special. And we just love God when we give. Fourth thing that happens. And this is partially where we've started. And I want to kind of end here. And it's just a reminder, because for some of us, we wonder. We just can't help it. The old devil's dragging at us. You know, if I give, what's going to happen? What's going to take place? Well, look at verse 19. Back where I started. And my God will supply all your needs. See, the fourth thing that happens when you and I give, this happened just a few moments ago, remember? Is that God extends His personal care over you. God has already made some decisions in heaven for us this morning. God has already decided some things that they're going to affect you this week, I believe. Things that have to do with you paying the bills. Things that have to do with you caring for your family. Things that have to do with you being the kind of influence in the community God wants you to be. He's already made some decisions to care for you physically, spiritually, and emotionally because you are part of His family. You see, when He says that my God will meet all your needs, He doesn't say my God will meet most of your needs, does He? Does He say my God will meet some of your needs? Does He say my God will meet the littler needs? No. I tell you, whatever you're worried about today, whatever you're anxious about this morning, whatever you're thinking, how in the world are we going to pay this? Some of you've got stuff going on, it ranges all over the map in intensity. You grab hold of this verse today and you say, this is the truth. No matter what my experience is showing me right now, this is the truth. I am going to believe that God will meet my needs. God will take care of what I'm burdened with. I will give that to Him because I know that if I try to grab hold of it, who knows what's going to happen. So when God says, I'll meet all your needs, then by faith we say, all right, yes, Lord, I'm going to stand on that. And here's something else it says. It says, God will meet all your needs according to His riches, not out of His riches. Do you understand the difference? See, out of His riches almost implies that God gives up something. You know, it's like if God had $1 million and, you know, and you needed five, you know, He'd give you five of His $1 million because He's really rich, right? So He'd actually have $5 less. That's not what the text says. It says according to His riches. That means when God gives to us, it is consistent with. It is in accordance with. It is like what God is, which is infinite. Pastor Garrett T.L. said, he quoted that passage just a few moments ago. He didn't know I was going to mention this. Psalm 50, verse 10, 11, says, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Deuteronomy chapter 8 tells us it's God who gives us the ability to make wealth. So that means our jobs are a function of what God's doing in our lives. On and on and on and on the list goes. God has an infinite supply of ways to meet yours and my needs. Not only that, this God that we love, this God that we're looking to and studying and understanding and wanting to have more of, this God is the source of eternal wisdom. Not just lots of wisdom, I'm talking infinite eternal wisdom. God has an answer for everything. God has a direction for every path. And so He is also, those are His riches, His wisdom. Because I need His wisdom more than I need money. Yeah, I got to pay the bills, but my goodness, if I don't have wisdom, what good is the money going to do? How many of us have known people who are filthy rich and totally miserable? Wisdom from God, eternal wisdom from God. Or how about this one? The power, Ephesians chapter 1, that God has for us. It's described, His working for us who believe, and the illustration God gives so that we won't limit His power in our lives. He says, this power is that which raised Jesus from the dead. Look at Romans chapter 8 for a second. Romans chapter 8. You see, when God's trying to get a hold of us, He has to speak pretty direct, doesn't He? Romans chapter 8. Drop down to verse 11. It says, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. You see, when God gives us direction and God gives us power, things change. But we've got to be willing to walk it out. Let me tell you another true story. A friend of mine, he's an accountant, and this was about probably 10, 15 years ago. He had gotten in a situation, just financial downturn, some problems in his business, where he was on the verge. He had done reasonably well and had a second property. But the second property, he lost it. He actually went into default because he wasn't able to continue to pay the bills. Put a big old bad mark on his credit. He was having some problems. I mean, the guy really got down to really tough stuff in his life. But he was committed to tithing to God. And later on, somebody came to him who had bought the note and started pressuring him to pay off that note. In fact, so much so that he sat down with him and he said, I want to see your books. I want to see where you're spending your money because I have a right to the money you owe on that property. Now, fortunately, my friend, being an accountant and being a careful one at that, had kept track of everything. He said he was even keeping track of his cash expenses. And he laid it all the way out and he shows him what he made and what he was making. He showed him what his expenses were all the way down. But one of these spots was his tithe. And when this guy saw that, he says, you see that amount of money? Right there, I want that. Because you give me that every month, and in 3 years, this debt will be paid off. And here's what my friend said. Now, you want to talk about faith. My friend says, hey, I can't do that. Because that is what guarantees the other 90%. If I give you that, I won't even have that to pay you very long. Now, this guy didn't believe him. But my friend was determined to hold out. And he was not going to give in. He kept praying to the Lord, what do I do about this? What do I do about this? And get what happened. I'm going to give you a little, this is the short version of it. But it's really cool. When he told me that, I was going, whoa. What he did was, he managed to talk that fella into taking like nearly a dime on the dollar for what he owed. I think he owed him $25,000. Talked him into $2,500 to pay that debt off. He had a credit card that had a line of credit that would allow him to pay that off. He paid it off with the credit card. Then he went to his bank. And because now this black mark on his credit was erased, they allowed him to refinance his home. He saved enough money in the refinancing to pay off the credit card and be totally free of this guy. And he was right back on his feet. I mean, it was wild. I had to, you know, I haven't even told you all the stories. But I had to listen carefully. And he was just weaving this little web of how God met his needs. It involved God's wisdom. It involved God's power. It involved his trust in God. And it reminded me of where we started once again. Guys, this is all about faith. You know why God grabs a hold of us in our money, in our pocketbook? Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And God doesn't want any idols in our lives. You see this little phrase? He says, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ. Well, okay, some of you have a different translation. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. That's where I want to end today. With the most important decision. You know, whether you change your giving habits, that's between you and God. But there is another decision between you and God that really is on our heart today. Are you in Christ Jesus?